Thank you, Reggie and Mayo. Very beautiful. Palm Sunday is the day that Christian Church remembers Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And according to the Bible, this day Jesus was hailed as King of the Jews, was most likely predicted by the prophet Zechariah when he wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah wrote these words 480 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass. The ass or the donkey is an animal symbolic with humility, with peace, and it symbolized the house of King David. In other words, it was a sign of royalty. The colt of a donkey not only symbolizes humility and meekness, but the colt had never ever been ridden, and so it was not ever put to worldly use. Jesus told his apostles that they would have to go out and find the colt, the young offspring of a donkey, and bring it to him, because that was what he had to ride into Jerusalem, according to the prophetic scriptures. And this part of the story is in all four of the Gospels. The apostles apparently did not understand why they had to do this. But at this point in the relationship with Jesus, they didn't question Jesus much, because they had seen him healing people, raising the dead, and so if he said do something, they did it. They went out, they found a colt of a donkey, and they brought it to him. Again, in all four Gospels, it is stated that the reason he did this was so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. It has been prophesied that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. And now here's something really interesting. It wasn't that this is just to happen naturally. It wasn't how Jesus wanted to go into Jerusalem. It was that Jesus, being a religious scholar, realized what was expected of him, and he simply surrendered to it. He might have said to himself, "Oh, it's written that I'm supposed to do this, so let's just go on and get it done. Bring the colt." If you read the gospel, it is described just like that. He did it only because it was prophecy. As a religious scholar, he would have known the prophecy. You would find this frequency in the stories of the Bible many times. The people in the Bible were very well aware of prophecy, and the fulfillment of prophecy was considered to be a demonstration of truth. Failing to surrender to the prophecy would be the same as saying, "I refuse to live into the destiny foretold by the still small voice within me." Jesus fulfilled the prophecies not because it happened naturally, but because he knew that they were so, and so he just did it. He surrendered to it. This surrender was not an act. This surrender was an act of the deepest kind of faith. Imagine if your still small voice told you to ride to town on the colt of an ass. Now ask yourself this: what would the equivalent act be in your life today? Doesn't that make you think of how we rebel against being told what to do? Most of us don't like being directed, instructed, or guided. We want to be the boss of me. And you have to ask if this is how you are going to listen to the still small voice that is within you. Your intuition is the voice of God. It is the prophet within, and it knows before anything else knows. There are a couple of reasons why Jesus rode into Jerusalem on an ass, and while I am telling you what they are, I would like you to consider whether or not you would be willing to do the equivalent of this act of faith in your relationship with the divine. The first reason is that Jesus was able to surrender to the image that people expected of him, not necessarily the image that Jesus found natural, but the image that people wanted, that the prophets wanted. Translating this metaphysically, something's cooking. The image is the good that is within you, rather than all the stuff you could be doing instead of expressing this good, such as worries, doubts, and fears about yourself. It is the divine royalty of your birth. This is surrendering to being the beloved child of the divine patronage. It is as if you were saying that the same parents that were Jesus' parents are my parents. It is saying yes to the Christhood that you were born into. It is the recognition of our true self and the origin of your being. And secondly, the prophets wanted their Messiah to ride into Jerusalem in a very humble way. There is no more humble way to ride into Jerusalem than on the colt of an ass. I'm sure that was considered the most humbling way that you could do it at that time. Imagine how silly Jesus must have looked. Jesus was willing to do that. He was willing to take on the trapping of humility because that was what was expected of him. He didn't fight it. The metaphysical meaning of this is, if you know how the law of mind works and you resist it, the law continues to work, and it will mirror back to you your resistance. There is a law in the universe that is at your disposal to use. This law will not change. It is you and the use of this law that must change. In other words, you have to surrender to the way it works. When Jesus of Nazareth arrived in Jerusalem riding on the ass, the people, including the children, took palm branches and went out to meet him. And palm branches were used in a celebration of victory. The disciple John even saw a vision of a multitude with palm branches in heaven before the event. The ever-growing crowd also spread their cloaks on the road, much as we would roll out the red carpet today. This gesture to recognize royalty was also done when Jehu was appointed king of Israel. What Palm Sunday is about is the celebration of victory, which is the acceptance of truth. People in front of Jesus and also the people that followed behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means God saves. The people in the crowd were looking for Jesus to save them from the way that their lives were. They were unhappy. They were dissatisfied. And they wanted hope. In Luke's gospel, the Pharisees in the crowd wanted Jesus to rebuke the crowd for calling him by these terms that would have acknowledged him as their promised Messiah. But Jesus told them, according to Luke chapter 19, verse 40, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This is how deeply Jesus witnessed their hope for a way out of their sorrow, misery, and oppression. According to Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance." What was the inheritance that Jesus was offering? He knew that he was soon to be killed by the Romans. What did he have left to offer that had people saying his name with the deepest reverence on Palm Sunday? He was saying that now is the time, not later, not in the future. Today is the day to humbly allow yourself to ride in on an ass and to be a frustrating person when necessary. Yes, you are a divine and beloved child of God. And don't forget, so is every single person around you. Being humble is natural when everyone is our peer. Like Jesus, you can accept the tribute, but know what he knew. It is not wise to be swayed by what expressions or to let agendas of others determine your course. Accept tributes gratefully, but continue to do your right work. When someone tells you something complimentary about yourself, say thank you. It's very kind of you to appreciate that about me. I participated in a seminar once where the facilitator asked the question, "Who likes to be of service to others?" Nearly everyone in the room raised their hands. Everyone wants to help. Everyone wants to give word. And everyone wants to give a hand when there's a slip up. And then the facilitator asked, "Who likes to be helped?" Only 3 or 4 hands out of 100 present were raised. How in the world can anything less than be less frustrating than 100 people trying to help 3 or 4 willing recipients? We can all open ourselves to contributions the way Jesus did. Those disciples helped Jesus get his job done and carried on Jesus' mission when he was gone. Where can we do this in our lives? Can we be humble enough to allow another one to give us a hand? Does much humility result in deepest joy? Think how you felt the last time you were able to help someone. Wasn't that just a most wonderful gift? This is a spiritual partnership. It is similar to the partnership that we have with God. God is always there. We depend on that presence for our very lives. When we allow God to guide us through our days, we commit to a partnership with God. Much like Jesus when he surrendered to the idea of riding into Jerusalem on an ass, we must surrender some control, and we must do this in a deep and abiding faith. A faith that tells us that God is good and has the power to remove our fear and to guide us through each day and through every activity that we are going to do today and every single day. You are going to go to work tomorrow. Why not go with God? You are going to drive your car or take a bus home today or tomorrow. Why not drive or ride with God? According to the Bible, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the ass, he knew that he was going to die on Friday. He did not flinch. He did not turn back. Jesus Christ knew that he was eternal, and he knew that he was forever in the loving embrace of his divine Father. He surrendered his doubts. He surrendered his fears to his Father. Those who would kill him had no idea how their plans would backfire. Paraphrasing Ralph Waldo Emerson, "What we are speaks so loudly that sometimes it is hard to hear us." Choose today to co-create your life with God. Choose today to live a life that is powered by love. The same fearless love that flowed through Jesus flows through you. Recognize it. Claim it. Spread it around. It multiplies on contact. There is no shortage of good in the world. There is a power in the universe greater than we are, and it is in us and with us. Leaving you today with a quote from Ernest Holmes. "Peace be unto thee, stranger. Enter and be not afraid. I have left the gate open, and thou art welcome to my home. There is room in my house for all. I have swept the hearth and lighted the fire. The room is warm and cheerful, and you will find comfort and rest within. The table is laid, and the fruits of life are spread before thee. The wine is here also. It sparkles in the light. I have set a chair for you where the sunbeams dance through the shade. Sit and rest and refresh your soul. Eat of the fruit and drink of the wine. All is yours, and you are welcome. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your chair. Rest your feet comfortably on the ground and place your hand in a position in your lap or at your sides that won't call attention. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath and let go of all of that's inside of you. And relax. Be still and quiet your mind. Let go of all that is outside of this peaceful and holy sanctuary. Let go of all of those worrisome thoughts that are swirling around in your head. Let go of any anger, any resentment, any frustration or jealousy that you may be holding on to. And just be still. Be very still. And go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms, unconditional love, and a peace that passes all human understanding. Let not my heart be troubled. Let it not be filled with fear and doubt. Let me cast away the worries and the stresses of the world. And let me become impervious to all that is not who and what I am in truth. Let my heart be open and receptive to the still small voice within. That still small voice that directs and guides and calls me home to my Father's house. Let me put aside the ways of the world, the striving for things, the pressure to be what I am not, the ego that relies on praise and compliments from those who pander. Let me turn away from all that is temporary and reach for that which is eternal and infinite. Help me, Father, to hear your call, to follow in the steps of my elder brother Jesus. Lift my consciousness that I may have that mind and that manner that Jesus has. Let me be humble. Let me be meek and mild. Let me be merciful and pure at heart. Let me look behind all appearances and see the truth of all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be. Let me see you, Father, as the all in all forevermore, that I too may let go of the trappings and the confusion of the world and be with you in heaven. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love.